Yes, it's that time of the week, and I'm joined by Sally Lucas for Talking Travel. Hello, Sal.
Hi, Amanda. How's your week been?
My week has been good.
Good?
Well, for the most part, anyway. Apart from a colonoscopy, you know.
Oh,
what's
God.
Good about that?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Aren't they wonderful?
That's right.
I could think of better things to do with my week.
Yeah, me too.
But anyway, look, I'm sure I'll cheer everyone up with something better than a colonoscopy.
Well, look, at least the results were good, so that's the main thing.
Oh, absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
Right. And sorry if anyone's eating their lunch.
Hopefully just finished.
Just finished. Now, today we're going to New Zealand.
Yeah, across the ditch to New Zealand and going through a nice little area of France between Provence, the French Riviera, etc. A couple of nice tours that you can do if you're interested in those areas of France.
Lovely. All right. Looking forward to hearing about those.
Yep.
This is Talking Travel on 2NURFM 103.7, and we are New Zealand bound.
We are, and I am next year too, and I can't wait.
Ooh.
April next year.
Fantastic.
So it's a little way off. We're not that far. It'll go really quick,
I
won't
know.
It? Really does. And of course, we all know New Zealand as being beautiful and green, wonderful landscapes, Lord of the Ring film series,
oh, I love it.
Hobbits, you name it, you know. So I just thought we'd go through some of the things you can do when you're even in just one of the cities as day trips mainly. So if you're only going to Auckland for a few days, or even if you're not, it could be done either way. Like this could be part of a full itinerary, or it could be just, yes, I'm going to be in Christchurch or Auckland for a few days. So the one place everyone, of course, raves about, which is only 40 minutes by ferry from Auckland, is Waiheke Island. And of course, all the locals love it as well. Beautiful vineyards, award-winning wineries there. Lovely long lunch restaurants that you can go to. And as I said, they've got this Stony Ridge Vineyard there, which is in the heart of the island, which it's famous for its French-style reds as well. And just a beautiful place to go, and even for a few days if you wanted to, but certainly it's a doable as a day trip. So that's one of them. There's another little place which you don't really hear about very much, Muriwai. It's 45 minutes by car from Auckland, and you've got these black sand beaches, but they've got these famous barreling waves that beckon all their surfers, and lots of walking trails that hug the seaside cliffs. And it's only, as I said, about 45 minutes east of Auckland. So there's lots of little places you can get to that you might not have thought about when you go to a city. Now, this is a bit further, but again, a beautiful part of the North Island, the Coromandel Peninsula. It is just stunning. Now, it's about 3 hours from Auckland, and a lot of Aucklanders love going there as a little coastal getaway, somewhere we go for a long weekend or a few days. But you could do it as a day trip, but I would say go there for longer, really. But they've got wonderful little towns there. They've even got a charming cafe called the Eggcentric Cafe, which, as the name suggests, serves all manner of egg-based dishes.
Yummy.
But they've got lots of lovely towns there, like Coromandel itself is a town, which is the heart of the Coromandel Peninsula. And it's close to the famous Cathedral Cove. There's another town called Whitianga, which is a beautiful beach town as well, where it's fishing, kayaking. The town of Thames, Tairua. There's so many towns on that Coromandel Peninsula, which are just absolutely beautiful. Lots of lovely beach areas, and the real lovely bays and inlets, safe for swimming, surfing, all sorts of things. So just keep that in mind. Also from Auckland, we're still going from Auckland at the moment, Hamilton and Matamata in the Waikato area. Now, that's about 1.5 hours by car. We can get there by train even to Hamilton in about 2 hours. And Hamilton is a bit under the radar city, but it's sort of getaway again now from Auckland. And they've got these beautiful gardens there sprawled over 54 hectares, just called the Hamilton Gardens. And they're divided into curated themes such as the South Pacific, Ancient Egypt, even Alice in Wonderland. So lots of lovely things you can do away there. And of course, you've got the perfectly preserved Hobbiton.
Oh, I want to go there.
Which is the real life Shire from the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And of course, near to there, you've got the Waitomo Caves as well, which are about 2.5 hours from Auckland. So that is really fantastic. Now, Wellington is famous, of course, for its museum, the Te Papa Museum, which is a must for anyone going to Wellington. They reckon you could probably spend days there, but It's just such a good museum. It's world renowned. But there are other things, obviously, you can do out of there. Again, you've got wineries in the Wairarapa. I'm probably not saying that correctly. I'm sorry for any Kiwis out there. The Remutaka mountain ranges. And also there's a town, a historic town called Greytown, where you've got these wonderful examples of Victorian colonial architecture that line the main street. It's almost the New Zealand's most complete set of wooden Victorian buildings. Just beautiful. And lots of little cafes, restaurants, boutique galleries, you know, local stores, all things interesting, etc. So just consider that some of the things you can do just in the North Island as day trips out of these cities. And also you can get to another part of the coast there called the Kapiti Coast from Wellington. Again, you can go by car, or it's a 45-minute rail journey, and it's a very historic station in Wellington you go from, and it skims the coastline of the lower North Island. It's absolutely stunning. So that's something else you can do, and there's a hike you can do, the escarpment track. It takes up just under 4 hours, which includes two crossing on swing bridges. They're a bit scary, aren't they, when you walk
I like
on those?
Them,
are you? And you ascend to about 220 metres above sea level. You've got Queen Elizabeth Park in Paraparamu. I'm probably not saying that. I'm sorry again. My Kiwi pronunciation isn't good. The Maori words I find are a little bit hard, aren't they? Yes. I could also remember, it's a suburb in Auckland. This is, I'm just digressing, years ago, and it's spelt Papa, T-O-E-T-O-E. So I call it Papatoto. And they just laughed at me because it's Papatoetoe, because they pronounce each vowel.
Oh, well, that's a good tip.
You know, so a lot of the vowels we might join together, they pronounce them separately or individually. And there's another Cape Palliser, which is also, it is in Wairarapa, which is 2 hours from Wellington, which is this beautiful red and white striped lighthouse that stood proud on the coast since 1897. And you've got 250 stairs if you want to take the panoramic view of the Cook Strait. So that's just some of the things you can do. And there's also a dark sky reserve there as well, where you can go and do your night star watching. So lots of things to do as day trips just out of these cities. People just think of them as cities, but you've got to remember, within an hour or less, you can get to see some beautiful countryside.
So you could base yourself in a city?
And you could base yourself there just for a few days. And so you're not packing up, you know, every day. Base yourself for it. I say that to people, like 3 nights only gives you 2 full days anywhere. By the time you get there and the time you check out of your hotel to leave, those 2 days you're taking bites out of.
That's right.
So 3 nights just gives you 2 full days. And that's worth it, because then you can do all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, which is really great. And you're not just seeing the city, you're seeing what the surrounds are.
Can we fly out of Newcastle to New Zealand yet?
We used to be able to. Remember, Virgin had flights, and then unfortunately it wasn't supported as well as it should have been, and they withdrew. Well, obviously I think it's on the agenda now that we've got the direct flights happening to Perth and Hobart. And, of course, we've got Adelaide, as you know, and now we're starting next month with Bali. So I'm hopeful New Zealand will be the next one on the list.
Crossing
again,
my fingers, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It would be wonderful if we could.
Yeah.
If you're listening, Newcastle Airport, or not just Newcastle Airport, travellers, if you know anyone wants to introduce these flights, even the ones we've just talked about, please support them. We don't want to lose those services.
Mm.
It's a lot better than driving to Sydney.
That's right, 100%.
But even for the people on the North Coast or Central Coast, to come to here is probably a lot less hassle than getting to Sydney or getting to Brisbane or whatever. So, yeah, let's hope. We support it, and we can get them. We'll have more coming out of here, which will be wonderful.
We are talking travel, and we're going to France.
Haven't been for a while, have we?
No, I haven't been for a long time.
Neither have I, actually, which is surprising.
99, I think.
Oh, no, not that long for me, but it's been a while, I must say. So, prior COVID. So it has been a while. Anyway, these are a couple of nice itineraries, but this one in particular I love. It's they say it's Paris to Nice through vineyards and mountains, but I love the description by this company called Backroads. Glasses glinting with shimmering bubbles, windows opening out onto soaring mountain ranges, and rustic villages enveloped in the sweet scent of fresh lavender.
Oh,
this leisurely
nice
voyage through quintessential France is guaranteed to ignite all your senses, from uncovering the tales of heroism in medieval Reims to savouring the plumpness of Burgundy's juicy grapes. You'll discover what makes this belle country so unique. So are you ready to become fully immersed in local French life?
Yes, I am.
Great. Come along then. So this is a beautiful itinerary from Paris, and it finishes in Nice. And you go to Beaune. Now, Beaune is, I guess in France, sometimes it's pronounced Bon, It's a medieval town with walled ramparts, etc. around it.
I love those type of towns.
Oh, absolutely fantastic. And it's in the Burgundy wine region of France, and it's located between Lyon and Dijon. And it's one of the key wine centres of France, of course, being in Burgundy, of course. And they have an annual wine auction, what they call the Hospice de Beaune, which is the primary wine auction for the whole of France. So the town's surrounded by some of the world's most famous wine villages, such as Meursault, Pouligny-Montrachet, and also, even though a lot of these cellars can be large or small, they're in the historic centre even of Beaune itself. So you're not just going, they're actually in the town. I love that about France, how you don't have to always go to the vineyard to taste the wine. Mm. They have a cellar in the town. And it's been like that since almost Roman times. So it's really a rich historical and architectural heritage there. Considered the capital of Burgundy wines as well. And, of course, there's lots of features, as I just said, remaining from the pre-Roman and Roman eras, both through the medieval and the Renaissance periods. So, as I mentioned, it is a walled city, with much of the battlements and ramparts and the moat having survived in good condition. And this 15th century Hospice de Beaune is in the town centre. It's one of the most best-preserved Renaissance buildings in Europe. And it was originally a hospital, but it's not anymore. Of course, it's used for these wine auctions and so on. But it's got the beautiful old market called Les Halles, the Beffroi, which is a clock tower, and a collegiate church of Notre Dame. So it's really interesting. And they've also got this unique roofing style, Renaissance roofing style of the region, which is like a, like they call it like polychrome, but it's a special Burgundian tile, interesting tiles that you only see in that area on all of the buildings. So it is of historical importance in wine production and the unique system of terroir in the region, and it was inscribed onto UNESCO World Heritage List in 2015. So it's a beautiful town to go through. I must admit, I loved it when I went there. And the other town on this itinerary that you're doing all the way through is Annecy. And Annecy is listed in one of the most beautiful villages in France.
I'm looking at that picture that you've got there, and it looks beautiful.
It is stunning. It is absolutely stunning. And you just think it's a picture postcard that can't be true, but it is. And then that's what's so amazing about it. It's real and it's so pretty. But also, it's mainly where you just go for the ambience more than anything else, to sit and watch the world go by. You're in this pretty little village. It snuggles into the foothills of the French Alps. It was founded by Romans and flourished as a medieval seat of the Counts of Geneva, because you're close to Switzerland as well. And history then passed it by and nothing happened much. And then suddenly someone realised, wow, this is this little oasis in the middle of nowhere. And there is a new town adjacent to it, which is nothing like this lovely little old town. So it's absolutely stunning. Everything's there. Like, you've got brass door knockers still on, and the old signs of apothecaries and on doors, and, you know, crooked chimneys and wooden bridges and just flowers everywhere. And this little system of the little river that runs and forks through the town two ways, which is just amazing. So just if you haven't even been to Annecy and you're not doing a tour and you're driving or you're on a train trip, get yourself to Annecy. It really is beautiful. So this itinerary takes in all of that, as I mentioned, as well as finishing up, of course, on the French Riviera. You're going to do some lovely cheese tastings, wine tastings, and just have some most beautiful scenery of soaring peaks, beautiful lakes in Chamonix as well. So if you haven't done an itinerary of France in this region, I'd suggest it could be just the thing for you. It's 12 days, so it's not too long, 18 guests maximum, and you're in a luxury mini coach with boutique accommodation throughout. And that's in October. It's just the one departure, 8th of October next year. There is another one as well. There's a second tour going, and it's in September next year. It's slightly different itinerary. So there's two different itineraries for you to choose from, depending on what your interests are in that region of France.
Well, check out the pictures, because you're going to want to go.
I tell you, I didn't print off any pictures of Beaune, but it is totally different, but also beautiful because of it being so ancient with the ramparts and everything. It's just quite a spectacular.
Yeah, it looks town. Amazing.
Yeah.
And we are talking hot deals now, Sal.
We are, and I've got a little New Zealand one here, which I think sounded quite nice. It's probably only going to give you a taster, more of a taster tour of New Zealand. It's just 12 days, and it's a combination of car hire and rail. So it's quite an interesting little itinerary. And you start in Queenstown and you finish in Auckland, and there are dates available between September and March next year. to do this because it's independent, obviously. Organise your own flights so that this is just the land content, because you might want more days at the beginning or, you know, extra days at the end or whatever. But just to give you a rundown of what it does, it's so you're starting in Queenstown, you get 5 days car hire there. And what you're doing is you're spending two nights then in Queenstown. And they give you like a little map, et cetera, for you to drive to Tiano and Milford Sound. And then you get a cruise with lunch included on the Sound. Then you drive up via up to Franz Josef Glacier, have a couple of nights there so you can do that area. Then on to Greymouth, you drop your car off. Then you take the Transalpine Express train, which is a beautiful journey across to Christchurch. Two nights there. Then you take the Coastal Pacific train up to Picton. Get the Inter-Island Ferry from Picton to Wellington, have three nights in Wellington, and we talked about that just a minute ago, how much you can do in and around Wellington for, you know, within an hour. Mm. Then finally you get the Northern Explorer Scenic train to Auckland for two nights. So I thought that was a really nice little itinerary, and that starts at, from in New Zealand dollars, but that would be converted. We win a little bit on that, so it'd be a little bit cheaper. That's from about 4.5, but that'll be a bit less in Australian dollars for that. And I thought that's quite a nice little itinerary if you just want a taste of New Zealand, and an independent one if you're not one for doing coach tours. If you do want to go coach tour, though, Travel Marvel has come out with some tours for 2026. They're filling up fast. It's just reserve your spot before they're gone, virtually. And they've got a tour of New Zealand where you can save up to $1,800 per couple if you're interested in doing a tour. The Murray River, they've got a lovely reflections of the Murray River. I'd love to still do that. I think that would be beautiful. I think our own rivers. I mean, I've done other rivers, but haven't, you know, I've done day trips on some of our rivers, but not long trips. But I think I'd love to do that on the Murray. Save up to $400. They've got passage through the Rockies and Alaska cruise of savings up to $2,000. Rhine cruises, Kenya and Tanzania savings, and also an Adriatic coastal cruise. Another one I'd like to do. Savings up to $1,600 per couple. Oh my God, you and I, we add to our bucket list every week,
that's
don't we?
That's right.
Now, if you book by 1 December, Viking River Cruises, or Viking Cruises, should I say, but this is River Cruises I'm talking, they're suggesting you go in the low season, and they often do this because people always seem to want to go in the peak of season. It's busy, it's hot, and it's more expensive. But if you go in the off season, like even in winter, if you like winter, and why not? You're seeing something we don't see here in winter. But even if you only go between March and May, you're not going to get the crowds. You're going to be travelling in cool temperatures. You're going to see all the spring flowers start to come out. You know, it's a beautiful time to travel and you get bargains. So they've got different river voyages for 26 through to 28. Fly free up to the value of $5,000 per couple. You got a book, but you got till 1 December on that one, so that's quite good. And closer to home, Coral Expeditions have got some beautiful expedition cruises on the outer Great Barrier Reef. So part of the Barrier Reef that you normally do not get to, like the more uninhabited islands. And they've even got what they call a science cruise, where you really get to learn there's scientists on board to try and explain what's happening to the reef and what we can do to protect the reef while still doing this beautiful itinerary.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, and one of them gets up as far as Horn Island, which is 10 nights. These are departing November and December this year, October and November next year. That's the 10-night cruise. And this other one, the Scissors and Science cruise I'm talking about, is October and November this year, which is doing all the outer reaches of the Great Barrier Reef. And it's led by a Dr. Dean Miller and supports the Forever Reef Project. But they've got some other interesting itineraries if you're interested in the reef, and I think most of us are, and we all want to protect and save one of the most wonderful, you know, wonders of the world. I mean, we really do need to protect and learn how to save it. But, yes, look, there's lots out there as usual. Oh, Top Deck, you were talking about that last week.
Yes,
you were asking me how it changed. Well, yes, well, I have made some changes. I'll just briefly mention to it. They've decided now to have smaller groups with only 18 people and a new age range now of 18 to 32.
Oh, I thought it was 18 to 35 last time. So they've
18 to 32
shrunk it.
Now, yeah. More choice of rune types. So you have multis, twins or doubles. And they're using a lot of public transport, trains and everything over coaches, something even now for more efficiency. And, yes, more time in the right places, more inclusions and more foodie experiences. So they just decided it was time they made some changes. To, you know, give them a better look, I guess, and different coaches now as well, smaller ones. So, yeah, so that's what they're doing as well. So that's a change for Top Deck.
Excellent. Lots of specials there and
lots happening.
Lots of things happening, lots more to do.
An ad.
I know.
To the list.
Just, that list is just getting longer and longer.
Have you got it on like a rotating roller or something?
It's in my memory.
It's in your memory.
Rolling around.
Okay.
So.
Well, that doesn't hurt. That gives you a lot to think about, a lot to dream about.
It does. Well, we'll catch up with you next week. Yep. Thank you very much, Sal.
Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.